Front Page Dramas present The Buried Goddess. The ancient continent of Africa carries in her dark heart many mysteries. As the sands of the Great Sahara cover ruins of civilization long dead and lost, so the jungles cover with their green shields other strange secrets. No man is better able to tell of them than Brian O'Brien, soldier, explorer, and adventurer. What he saw and heard in the tents of traders, the kraals of savage chieftains, he tells to the millions of readers of the American Weekly. Strange tales of Africa, never before told, are yours in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This week's front page drama brings you one of Brian O'Brien's strange tales, The Buried Goddess, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. And now for Mr. O'Brien's story.
A camel caravan plodded slowly over the arid wastes of the South Sahara Desert, on the ancient route from Wadi Halfa to Lake Chad. Finally reached the great market at Kano, capital of northern Nigeria, where Hausa traders buy the goods they peddle all over the forest region of the West African coast. One lean trader bought a string of curious beads from a camel man. He paid 10 pennies for them, tucked them in his pack, and left. A year later, he stalked into a compound in southern Nigeria, and sighting a white man sitting on the veranda of a house, he began to cry his wares. The white man strolled over as the trader shouted,
"Fine Kano cloth, Baturi. Good leopard skins, ostrich fans, leather cushions, main sokoto. Good beads, Baturi. Fine beads for white Baturi to wear. Fine beads, Baturi."
Wait, let me see those beads.
Yeah?
Never mind the other things, just the beads. Where'd you get these?
I bought them in Kano, Baturi. 10 shillings I paid. I sell you for 12 shillings.
12 shillings? I do. Yeah.
Huh?
12 shillings. Now, the beads are all I want. Get along now.
Miss Quires, I could have asked a fool apart.
Hey, you are, Hausa. Wait a minute. Come here, I say. Come here.
Oh, no, but surely I told you fair. You paid pricey. I give you back 2 shillings.
It's all right, you ass. I don't want my money back. Tell me where they came from, and I'll give you 5 shillings for yourself.
Zala sees me, but surely I bought them in the Kano market from an askuri in the caravan. He said he found them in the desert.
Confound it. Where in the desert?
Wait, but surely. My enemy. Wait, lest I make mistake. Yeah, he told me he found the beads in the sand near the oasis of Atlan. 10 days' journey from Lamai.
Righto. Here's your 5 shillings.
Oh, wow, Baturi. May you have fat wives and many children. Blessing, Baturi.
I say, Ford, what the devil is going on out here?
Just a bit of trading, old chap. Look here, Harris. You're a bug on archaeology. What do you make of this little trinket? I just bought it from that trader. What's it made of?
Lapis or turquoise. If I say it's this pendant that jolly well gets me, do you know what it is?
Looks like a fish. Must be pretty old.
Old? It's as ancient as Africa. That fish is the symbol of the Phoenician goddess, Tanit. Where did you say it came from?
Well, the trader said he got it from a camel man who found it in the sand somewhere near the oasis of Athla.
Athla?
Huh?
Why, that's the South Arabian corruption of the Phoenician Astarte or Ashtoreth. Goddess of fertility, known as the fish goddess.
Mm-hmm.
I say, old chap, have you ever heard of the lost city of Ashtoreth between the Niger and the Nile?
Oh, yes, of course. I thought it was just traveler's yarns.
No, no, it's more than that. The legend runs that it was built by Carthaginians who escaped before their city was destroyed by the Romans, 146 years before Christ. They carried the statue of their goddess, Ashtoreth, away with them, and built a temple for her, and a city around the temple. The point is, though, there are some queer stories about this oasis of Athla. It's sort of off the caravan track, and the camel men shun it, except when it's life or death to get water there.
And you think that these beads
were
the pendant?
Ashtoreth, all right. Yes, indeed. Each bead bears one of her holy names. I can half read 2 or 3 of them. Maybe she's getting lonely. Ashtoreth, I mean. Maybe she threw this out as bait.
Hey, Harris, you're either mad or joking.
Neither. When I run these beads through my fingers, I feel, well, sort of a queer pull. Here, try it.
What? Why, well, there is a strange power. Look here, Harris, old man. I'm due for a holiday, and I was going to Paris, but now...
Righto. Then it's Athla for both of us. But we may never get back.
Righto.
2 months later, Harris and Forbes started out on their great adventure. to find the lost city and temple of the buried goddess, Astoreth. As their great camel caravan neared its destination, they were talking to the tall, lean, Nubian camel master.
Aye, Effendi. I am from the Bahami country. Many times have I followed this road. Fights have I seen. Great fights with the Veiled Ones, the Toreks, forsaken men of God. I have seen men and camels buried in the sandstorms. I've killed my camel to get the small water that was in him. Many tales do I know of this road.
And they say that once men lived in the desert.
Only the Toregs, the Veiled Ones. They who eat carrion and suck their blood for water.
No. I speak of ancient men.
That. I've heard of the ancient ones who lived here when the desert was not desert. What does the Effendi, who are young and alive, want with the dead?
Now, you see, Karish, it's the fashion of the English to learn of the ancient ones and their times.
Yes, Karish. Now, what did you hear of the old ones?
There be parts of this road where men dare not pass by at night.
What do you know of Atla?
The Effendi must not stay there.
I see. How far is it?
8 camel days. We will not camp there. We take water enough to pass far from that accursed spot with all speed.
Oh, have you been there?
Once, Effendi. There are rocks and palms and barren figs beside water. And a vulture sits in tree. For years that creature just sits, has no food to eat. Yet it lives, for it is a jinn, a devil bird.
Is that all you fear, a bird?
There are other things. Sounds in the night that are screams of devils. But I say no more. Here, Effendi, if you wish. Here is map of road to the accursed Atla. Good night, Effendi.
Good night, and many thanks, Kareesh.
Same here. Good night.
Well,
I guess we'd better turn in, too. I'm pretty well tuckered up.
Oh, I won't have to be rocked to sleep either.
Slowly the camp settled to sleep. The two white men, tired from their long journey, slept heavily. And when they awakened in the brisk desert dawn, they were alone. All the other Arabs, Nubians, including Karish, had gone with their camels. The two personal camels of Harris and Forbes and their equipment remained. And so, plodding onward, following the crude map that Karish, the camel master, had given them, they finally reached the oasis of Atla. There were the rocks and its drain of water collected in a small pool. Some palms overshadowed a ruined building, and over all was a boding silence, suddenly broken by...
Hey, what the devil was that?
The vulture Karish told us about.
Oh.
There he is, perched up in that tree.
Yes. This is the place, all right.
We'll start tomorrow, bright and early.
Which way do we start?
To the north.
Why the north?
I don't know. It just seems to be the right direction somehow.
You know, it's funny. I feel the same way.
According to all available information, there's a lake about 5 miles from here. It's dried up now, of course. But I suppose that the springs of this oasis once fed it. There should be traces of trees and a sort of island in the middle. We search for that tomorrow.
I say. What the devil is that?
Let's investigate outside the tent here.
Yes. Listen.
Sounds like someone having a nightmare. Confound it, Forbes. It unnerves me.
Yeah. I say, I don't mind telling you. I'm a bit scared myself.
You'd better tie up the camels. We don't want them to stampede.
Lord Harris, it sounds human almost.
Yes.
Like a woman.
Like 10,000 mad women.
Yes, and yet there's a certain sweetness to it also, like someone calling.
Yes, infinitely alone calling.
Maybe it's your goddess.
After the weird night and very little sleep, Forbes and Harris packed up, watered the camels, and started north to find the dried up bed of the lake and the island in the middle. They climbed sliding cliffs of sand, slid down treacherous slopes, working their way northward. Then when they had climbed another high ridge, they looked down into a huge, saucer-like depression in the sand. There was a wide area of flat sand gleaming like salt crystals. In the middle stood a big, cone-shaped hill.
Well, here's the lake, and there's the island in the middle.
Good Lord. That sound again.
I say,
what?
It's only the wind that makes that sound.
What?
Yes, of course. These are singing sands like those of the Gobi Desert.
Why, George,
When the wind blows, the grains of sand rub together and make the sound. You see, it's very simple. This saucer-shaped depression and the cone-shaped hill here in the middle create the shrieking as the action of the wind revolves around them.
Well, maybe so, but you can have your science. I still feel like Kerrish.
Don't worry. Our goddess is here, and she will look after us. See, she knows we're coming to her. And look, there, between those two great boulders, the wind has sucked all the sand away. There's a passageway. Get the picks and shovels while I investigate.
Righto. It looks as though we're in luck.
Hurry, old man. There's only one big boulder blocking this entrance. Bring two shovels, and we can lever it out, roll it down the hill.
Righto, I'm coming. Bringing a couple of big flashlights, too. There we are, old chap.
Oh, good. Now, let's see. We'll get over on that side and work from behind. Mm-hmm. Put the shovel well under the bottom of the boulder, and we lift it up. And at the same time, push the rock forward. What do you say?
Right.
Both together, ready?
All ready now.
All right, one, two,
three. She's giving. Keep it going. Well, she's rolling.
Push away now.
There you go. There you go.
Ah, there we are.
Hey, there's an opening, all right. Very narrow. Look, there's a tiled wall in the polished stone walk. Can we squeeze through?
I'll try it.
Yes, we can just make it. Follow me. Light your flashlight.
Yes.
You're following to a door. This passage opens to a big square chamber.
See, it's lined with big clay urns. They all bear fish and crescent symbols.
Yes. I'll break one open with my pick and see what's in it. It's filled with ashes and calcined bones. By Jove, what's this? Harris, look what I found. A ruby. A ruby as big as the bowl of a tablespoon, cut in the shape of a fish.
Forbes. Yeah? Forbes, here's the door. Bring your pick and help me open it.
But look, Harris, look.
She's here. In here.
What?
We must be quick. She says she will help. We must be quick.
I say, old chap, calm down. You're acting mad, quite mad.
Hurry, hurry. She wants us.
You mean she wants us?
It's giving. Stand back. I'll open it. Look, she's there.
By George.
Heroic. Beautiful. Perfect, unmarred by the passing of centuries. See her symboled crown. It's Ashtoreth, the great goddess.
What's that in her arms? Why, it's the mummified body of a man.
She beckons. I must go to her. Go to her.
Harris.
Go to her.
Harris, come back. Harris! Harris!
Stirred, it may be, or shaken by the works of the picks, the mummified body slipped out of the arm of the goddess, and as Harris ran towards her, she seemed to lean forward and embrace him. Then came the deafening roar and a blinding, smothering curtain of sand. Somehow, Forbes struggled through that blanket of death, out into the open. He stumbled forward and found a great sandstorm blowing. One camel was left, and he managed to survive. A camel patrol out of Fort Lamay picked him up. He told me the true tale and showed me the ruby he found. He would never part with it, and he said he was afraid to sell it. He's dead now, which is why I can tell the story.
You have just heard The Buried Goddess, one of the weird, fascinating, but true life stories of darkest Africa by the famous soldier, explorer, and author, Brian O'Brien. This series is running concurrently in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you every week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper.